Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Piedmont United Methodist Church on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany, the last Sunday of January. We are still in the Epiphany season, which is also called in the Christian calendar the ordinary season. That doesn't mean that it's an ordinary season. Actually, it started with ordinals. Ordinals means numbering. So we count from Epiphany, first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday after Epiphany until we reach Lent. So if anybody asks you about what is ordinary time, now you know. It's not just a common ordinary time, it's called ordinalis. That's what it came from. I mean, you count after Epiphany until you reach Lent. So we will continue this season until we reach the Ash Wednesday, which is, I believe, the first Wednesday in March. So we hopefully will have a service in the evening with Ash service on that Wednesday. God has given us another day to worship and come together and to be alive in this world. It is not because of who we are, only because of who He is, that He has given us a life in this world as a gift. And also the good health and strength in our bodies to gather together here and also online. So welcome. Let us worship God together. Please join the announcements with me in the second page in the bulletins. As our regular announcements are listed there with our Georgia Mountain Food Bank collection, please remember that in your donations. You can take donations in cash or in kind. The Joy and the Journey book, the proceeds will go to the missions of this church. And also our mailing address is listed for those particularly who are remote, who want to send their donations or any other communications. Please note that address. Our cooking class and the art classes in February, second Saturday and third Saturday respectively, will be held as scheduled at 10 a.m. on those Saturdays. Second Saturday cooking class and third Saturday we will have the arts and the drawing class. The third Thursday luncheon fellowship at the Golden Corral will be on February 17th at 1 p.m. Please join that for a time of food, fun and fellowship. The regular lunch that we usually have on the last Sunday of the month celebrating birthdays and anniversaries today is cancelled because of inconvenience of many people who may not be able to attend. So we will continue with that month. And the attendance and collections are listed there for your continued participation and prayers. Please continue to pray for our church and also donate your services, your witness and also your financial support. We thank you for all the support that you have been doing to the church, and let us continue doing that. We take donations through our website now. You can go to piedmontumc.com and click on the online giving. There are multiple options: direct bank draft, credit card, debit card, Zelle. There are many different ways you can donate online if you want to do that way also. And your records will be kept and you'll be given the appropriate receipts at the end of the year. We have given out all the donations list by this time. If you haven't received your gifts or donations for the last year 2021, please see Margaret. She has all the list of donations she can give out. Are there any other announcements that I missed or anybody wants to add anything? If not, let us continue worshiping God. We'll go to God in thanksgiving and worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn, "To God Be the Glory." We will sing verses 1, 2, and 3, sing hymn number 98.
Like the night.
Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us. You have given us one more day in our life to live in this world. Only because of your grace and mercy that we are alive here today. We thank you for the health and strength you have given us in our bodies to be here and also online to worship together with all the saints in this world and also in heaven. We thank you for the salvation that you have given us through your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this world to suffer for us, who died for us, who rose from the dead. So whoever believes in him have eternal life through him. I mean, thank you for loving us so much that you send your Son to die for us. We thank you for everything that you give us every day. And we come before you with a grateful heart, with honor and adoration and praise in our minds. As we gather here today, Lord, help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit. Bless us with your presence, Lord, as we go from this place, that your Holy Spirit will fill us with the power so that we can be your arms and feet and your witness for you in the days to come as we live our life in this world. Thank you again for gathering us here today. Let your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love and also unmute online so we can say hi to you. Good morning, Martha. Thanks for joining. How are you?
Good morning. I tested positive for COVID this week.
Oh my goodness. Okay. We'll keep you in our prayers. Good morning, Jean. How are you?
Morning. I'm doing good.
All right. Thanks for joining.
I'm full release from my doctor tomorrow morning at 8:45.
All right. Okay. Well, keep you in our prayers. And Paul and Becky, how are you? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hope you're all doing okay there.
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Thanks for joining. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, the last day of the month, we celebrate the celebrations of our birthdays, anniversaries, or any other celebrations that we want to celebrate. Anybody want to share anything? Anybody have a birthday or anniversary?
Carol had a birthday this month.
Who?
Carol,
happy birthday.
It's just me.
Okay.
47 years.
Oh, marriage. Congratulations. Harry, congratulations to you too. Are you feeling okay, Gary? Harry? You know, feeling okay?
It's a long story. But
okay.
It was worse than we thought.
Oh, really? Okay. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Hope your pain is going down. That's what we are praying for.
It has.
Okay. Anyone else? Any birthday, anniversary, or anything else? It can be your children's birthday, grandchildren, or even friends. We can celebrate that together. 607. Let us pray together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee, or brought low before thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this Sunday that you have given us to come together, to worship you together, and the opportunity that you have given us together to gather here and also online. We come before you with a grateful heart for the gift of life, the gift of family, friends, and fellowship and church. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ, you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We thank you for those who are celebrating the anniversaries and birthdays and many other joyous occasions this month. We thank you for a new year in their lives. With the passing of time, you have increased and deepened their faith towards you and for others. We give you thanks for your past blessings and pray for your continued blessings upon them. Renew your blessings upon them every day, Lord. Cover them with your love, comfort them with your joyful presence, and confirm them in their hope. We thank you again for your blessings. Help us, Lord, to be always grateful and to be a living witness for you as long as you give life in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The responsive reading, which is on page 824, Psalm 103, we will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul,
and forget not all God's benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord, who works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed, he has made known God's ways to Moses, God's acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord will not always chide nor harbor anger forever. The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the Lord's steadfast love toward the faithful. As far as the east is from the west, so far does the Lord remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to the faithful. For the Lord knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. As for the mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon the faithful, and the righteousness of the Lord to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. This is our prayer time now. As a church family, we come before God to share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God. And also at the same time, we bring our prayers of burdens and concerns together and lift them up to the throne of grace of God, trusting in God's promise that God will answer our prayers according to His will and His time. So let us go to God in prayer with our prayers and prayer concerns. Couple of updates that we want to turn with me to the back of the bulletin for our regular prayer requests listed there. Continue to pray for Martha and Rich. Martha, how are you feeling now, and are you okay?
Well, I was not able to have my chemo because I did test positive for COVID, but I'm doing fine. I don't seem to have any symptoms, so I was surprised. And so I praise God for that I'm doing fine.
Okay, so once you have it tested negative, you should be able to go back for the
chemo. Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So let us keep her in our prayers for recovery from COVID and also for chemo coming up. How is Rich doing now?
He's doing so much better. He's still a little weak, okay, but he's getting there. Every day is an improvement.
All right, thanks be to God for that. Keep her in our prayers. Jean, how are you now?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll have a full release tomorrow morning, and that means I can get out and go and do things and interact and whatever.
Yeah, he had a replacement of your
the hip.
Yep. So he's recovering from
like
that.
Something from the movie Terminator.
All right. I want to give you an update on Penny. Penny has improved a lot She's taking solid food, and she's about to be discharged sometime early this week. But she will have to go through a long time rehab. They're considering an in-house or in-home rehab situation if they could find one. So Alan called me and asked me if we could announce it to the church and if anybody knows any resources where they can find an in-home rehab people. Let me know, I will convey that to him. And also, she needs, if she's going to be home, she needs some support from the church. So we can visit her, preparing food or anything, groceries, things like that. We may have to support her with that. So he will update that on the situation. But if anybody knows any resources on rehab facilities or people who can do it in-home particularly, please let me know. Please keep the whole family in our prayers. It is a very difficult situation they are going through now. You all know that Penny has been always a healthy person. She never had to be sick. But this time, they are all, you know, concerned about her. So please keep her in our prayers. And they are taking visitors from the family, limited, but we can't. They don't take other visitors. But I will keep you updated when she's discharged as I get the information. Gail and family has been out of COVID. Now the little one, Mackenzie, got it. He's tested positive for COVID. She has some symptoms, but not that bad. So please keep Mackenzie in our prayers and also the whole family for healing and comfort. And Guillermo is not here today. How is Guillermo doing?
He's doing better. Last Tuesday, the blood test was much, much better.
Okay.
And some of the okay.
That is the second round or third?
The fourth.
Fourth?
The fourth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you only, okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's very good. And keep Miss Lou in our prayers as she is visiting family in Mississippi this couple of weeks. So keep her in our prayers. I know Jean is here today. Miss Jean, how are you?
Feeling better.
Good. Okay, thanks for joining us. Yes. Are you feeling better?
Yes, I'm better.
Okay, so keep Miss our prayers. Ian McGee, I listed there because Terry's son is deployed overseas. So please keep him in our prayers, and they cannot disclose where he is, or they cannot communicate as much as the family wants to. So Terry is a little upset about that, but that's part of that service. So let us be thankful for the service that they are doing for us, and pray for Ian's safety and also peace and comfort for the family. Keep Bob Donald in our to keep in our prayers as they are planning still to go back to Mississippi. I don't know the latest, but my understanding is he's still in the facility up in Dawsonville now. Anything else anybody want to call out? Yes,
well,
Vicky.
Well, Joseph was playing in not at our house, at his mom's and dad's house, and somehow he fell and he had 10 stitches in his chin.
Oh my goodness.
But he's doing fine.
He's home now, right?
Pardon me?
He's at home?
Yeah, he's at home.
He's at his home, yeah.
Wow.
He said last week was the worst week ever because he also lost his dog that had been with him since birth.
Oh, so, wow. We'll keep in our prayers the whole thing. Please keep Joseph in our prayers. Okay. Paul or anyone else online? Anyone to share anything?
Yes, like prayers for Becky. She's beginning physical therapy again for her.
I had to go to the emergency on Thursday. I had a tightness in my chest that didn't go away for a long time, so I just visited the emergency. They put me through all kinds of different tests and didn't find anything. That's the funny part, and you come back with knowing not what happened. That is scary, but I'm fine. I'm fine now. So please keep me in your prayers that it won't happen again. My son thinks it is my allergies flaring up. nothing to do with the heart, but the heart is good. They did all the tests about my heart. So I think some kind of allergy is causing me to have this tightness in my chest. So please keep that in your prayers. Please keep our nation as we continue and regularly pray for our country. Please keep that. And also the president, the leaders, Congress, governors of the state, and all those people who make decisions, give them that God will guide them with the wisdom to do the right things. And also, let us be thankful for our service workers, police, fire, military, our trash workers, grocery clerks, delivery people, I mean, you name it, a lot of people working behind the scenes to support us. Let us be thankful. At the same time, keep them and their families in our prayers for their safety as well. Medical professionals, all of them. Ms. Linda, thanks for being here. You are in our prayers. Continue to, God is good. Okay. Yes.
This pastor in Franklin, North Carolina, he's 51 years old. He got a knee replacement, and he just can't ever get better.
Is that where your brother-in-law?
Yes, where I'm from, yeah.
Okay. What's his name again?
Gordon.
What's his name, do you know?
His wife's name is Robin.
Robin, okay. Please keep my mom in your prayers. She's 93 years old, and she's with my brother and family. She did test positive for COVID, but she didn't have any symptoms. So that is a good thing. So please keep her in our prayers. But she doesn't know what COVID is anyway. So that's a good thing according to my brother. So she doesn't really care. So that is good. So keep her in our
prayers.
So let us go to God in prayer, and we'll take a few moments in silent time and pray for our other prayers that you may want to bring up, and I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of being your children, that we can come to you and call you Father. Regardless of where we are and how we are going in our lives. We thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us every day. In spite of our unfaithfulness, you have been faithful to us, O Lord. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you give us through our health and strength in our bodies, our physical and spiritual and mental and all kinds of different needs that we have. You are there always meeting every one of them in our lives. We thank you for that. At the same time, we come before you with our burdens and concerns as well, because many of us are broken in our bodies and many of us are broken in our souls and spirits. You are the one who can make us whole. You are the creator of our life. And we come before you boldly because you have promised that you will listen and answer our prayers according to your time and to your will. We thank you for all those blessings of healing that we have heard today. Continue to be with the rich and Martha. As they are recovering from the COVID, be with Martha as she is planning on her next chemo. Bless them with your presence and also comfort them with your peace. We thank you for the good news we heard about Guillermo. His results are getting better, as also he has to go back to the chemo life in this world. We thank you for their witness and their service in this world for you. Continue to keep them in our prayers, Lord, so that you will be there during this time of their difficulty. We thank you for all of those who are working during this time, particularly our service workers, our military, police, fire, our grocery clerks and trash workers, and many, many others that we cannot even count. A lot of them are risking their lives and their safety for serving us. We thank you for their services, and we pray for their safety and their families. Bless them, Lord. We also pray for our country. Bless our president, vice president, all the Congress members and governors of the states and people who are in authority who have to make decisions during this time. We pray for your wisdom and your guidance of the Holy Spirit, that they will make the right decisions and give them your guidance, Lord, and bless them with your presence. Be with us today, Lord, as we come to gather here to worship you, Lord. Bless us with your presence and also with your word as we take part in the service of word, that it will become an experience in our lives and a power so that we can be more effective witnesses for you in the days to come. Let your name be lifted up in our midst, and your name be glorified, and your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offering, please. Good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, we thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us, Lord. We come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. We give ourselves also as a living sacrifice into your hands, Lord. We thank you for everything that you give us, above all that we are grateful for Jesus Christ, that you have given us in many ways that more than we can ever deserve. We thank you for the gift of financial situations that you have given us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful stewards for your abundance and good caretakers of your blessing. Help us to use it wisely. Thank you for again all those who have donated here today, and we pray for those who could not today. Cover them all with your love, Lord, and protect them and keep them safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you remain standing, we will sing hymn number 128, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, no blessed thought, O worship heavenly comfort from whatever I do.
Remain standing, continue as we read from the scripture, which is taken from the Gospel according to John chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. This is Jesus feeding the multitude with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough food, enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 loaves left over and by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you have given so that we can nourish from your word and be strengthened in our body, in our spirits. Help us, Lord, as we come before you to receive your word. Give us an obedient spirit and a humble heart. Above all, we pray for illumining our souls so that we can see the hidden truths and the spiritual truths in your word and apply that in our lives so that we can be filled with your word, the power of your word. We pray for your blessing in our lives today and your presence here today so that we can understand the word and be empowered by it. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is another familiar passage that almost everybody knows, Christians and non-Christians, who know the story about Jesus feeding 5,000 people or more with the 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish. And it is said that there were 5,000 men alone. If there were 5,000 men, there were probably at least another 5,000 women and more children. So that's a large crowd of people gathered together. I don't know how Jesus spoke to that many people without microphone, even for 20, even 20 people. So that was a big crowd gathered for gathered to listen to Jesus. This is another miracle that is listed in all the 4 Gospels. We see this listed by Matthew in chapter 14, and Mark in chapter 6. Luke in 9 and here John in chapter 6. The one miracle that the first sign that Jesus did last Sunday we talked about is turning water into wine is only listed in John's Gospel, the only place that you see that one. But this one particular miracle is listed in all 4 Gospels. Here there is a need and a small budget. So that's why I mentioned a big need with a small budget. Close to maybe 10,000 people gathered there and be fed with 5 piece of bread and 2 fish. When we consider budgets, almost all the budgets that I have worked came out under budget. You never come, very rarely come with surplus because you always find ways to do certain things that you did not plan for doing when you start a project. So when you come into a situation where you have a small budget and a very big project, how do you handle it? And especially with a church like ours, we come into situations like that all the time. And we have small budgets and our needs are bigger than our. So here it is that Jesus is teaching the disciples a lesson, and we read that at the end of this passage, if you pay attention, it was saying that at the end, John says that Jesus performed this as a sign again. People saw the sign Jesus performed and they began to say that this is the prophet who is to come into the world. So it was a sign according to John. What was the sign about? Then if you continue to read towards the end of the chapter, Jesus will explain to them what the sign is about, and he tells them that I am the living bread from whom the world will have to eat and have eternal life, experience of eternal life. So he is actually showing a sign about feeding our physical bodies and then pointing us towards the eternal food that he is going to provide by breaking his body on the cross and shedding his blood on the cross. That was the sign that John is talking about, the sign that was to come. But then again, one more thing that we notice here is that Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd and he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him. And we know that God does not test people, right? That's what God does not, it says in the book of James, the devil brings temptation, but testing will be from God. But God does not test people with any evil intention. It is only to strengthen us. But when the devil brings temptation, it's the evil behind it. That's the difference. So tests and temptations are a little different. So when Jesus asked him this question, he put a little presumption in that question he did. He did not ask you, where do we get food from these people for these people to eat? He said, where do we buy this food, buy bread for these people to eat, to test Philip? Unfortunately, Philip was chosen to answer this question. You know, I don't know why Philip was chosen, but some people say that he was from that area, Bethsaida. So he knew most of the people there. And also he knew the locality and the grocery stores and places where he can probably get stuff. That may be the reason. We don't know why Philip, the unfortunate guy, had to answer this question. So this was a test for him, and he said that where do we buy food from these people? So the first thing, the assumption in that question that Jesus asked him is that we have to go buy some food. So what the first answer would come back to in our mind first, we go to Kroger. Since that many people, Kroger may not be able to handle that locally, so we may have to go to Sam's Club or some other big places where you can find a lot of food. I don't know what we would have done. But Philip, the poor guy, said, I don't know, Jesus, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy food for these people. That's about half of the year's salary you're talking about. He didn't see a chance to buy food for these people in this situation. So then comes another disciple who spoke up. He said, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and he said, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. So Andrew had a little different perception. He said, we have a little bit of food here, but for 10,000 people, almost 10,000 people, what is that going to do? Nothing. But he still looked at the resources that they had and see if Jesus could do anything with it. And also remember that this is not the first time that we see miracles like this happening, feeding people with small amount of food. Like we later on see that Jesus feeds another 4,000 people with 7 loaves of food, loaves of bread. So as John tells about this particular miracles, he seems to be more interested in how different people became involved in the miracle that happened there. How these different people that involved responded. The first person that I mentioned was Philip. We don't know much about Philip, but as I said, he was from Bethsaida in that local city. Surprisingly, he was a Jew but has a Greek name. Philippos is the name in Greek for Philip. So he had kind of a mixed background. Even though he was a Jew, he was some kind of a Greek background. Initially, he was one of the disciples of John the Baptist, who left him and followed Jesus. And he seems to have been a very practical person. So he looked at the situation and then responded saying, Jesus, it is hopeless. You can't do anything about this. The only thing I can probably think is to ask them to go home and eat and come back. Probably that's what he thought. It is a hopeless situation for Philip. But while it is good to be realistic, I mean, he was being realistic. But while it is being good to be realistic, Philip's approach is not a very good one. Because nothing happens positively to change the situation. Whatever situation that we have, just consider it being hopeless is not a good solution. We have to work through our situations where we are. And that's why Jesus asked him as a test how he would respond. I was reading about Mother Teresa. You all know her. The missionary who was in India, in Calcutta, saving lives from the streets of children and many other homeless people. And the statistics during her time of her work while she was living was that half of the people that she took from the street, including children, died after she took care of them because they were already in very bad situations in the street. So many people ask them, why do you have to waste your time and money on people who are going to die anyway? They're going to die in 6 months or less when you take care of them and they are her helpers and spend time on them. Let them die where they are. Then she said, it is not about the death that I count. Humans have a right to die in a place of love. At the same time, none of us can do anything great on our own. But we can all do a small thing with great love. That's what she said. So that is what, as Christians, we are called to do small things in a great way. And we are trying to wait for the great things to get done. We are not going to do anything great. But we are given opportunities very small, every day, in front of our eyes. A needy neighbor, or as somebody who is in a bad situation with the health, or somebody who needs some support with their youngsters or teenagers, and whoever, what that is. God is giving us little small chances every day to help out, and that is how we are to respond. And calling a situation hopeless is not the answer that Jesus was looking for. Then, Philip is a classic example in the New Testament of someone facing a difficult problem who looks at it completely discouragingly, but does not bring God into it. That is what the lesson we learned from that. Philip's response. Then the second person that spoke up at that time was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He was also born in a community near the Sea of Galilee. His father ran a successful fishing business, and Andrew and his brother Peter were part of his father's fishing business, so they were fishermen. Then his response is saying that, Jesus, we are not completely hopeless. We have a little, some resource here. A little boy who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But I know it is nothing compared to the need that we have here. But at least we have something. So when we are completely desperate, calling it a hopeless situation, we can always look for what we have. And remember Moses? Then Moses was called to go and speak to Pharaoh to let the people go. He said, who am I? And what kind of power do I have to do this? And God asked him, what do you have in your hand? And what did he have in his hand? Just a shepherd's stick. A piece of stick. And he said, all I have is a stick. And he said, okay, you have a stick in your hand. Put that on the floor. And he did put it on the floor and it became a snake. And he asked him to grab it from the snake. And he said, your stick, even though your stick you had been using for tending your sheep, is going to be the most powerful weapon that I am going to use. And that is what happened when he stretched that stick over to the Red Sea. What happened? The sea divided. That's the power that God gives us, even though we consider things that we have. We may not have a lot. And we may consider that insignificant things. But God can take our insignificant things and use them for mighty, mighty wonders and power for the blessing of his people and this world. If we are willing to give that in his hands. So Andrew was able to find some resource, a little boy. And that is the third person in this story that we are bringing in. into the situation where the third person is that little boy. What happened? That little boy was probably sent home from by his mother packing a little lunch, thinking that the boy probably needs it and he can use that lunch and listen to Jesus maybe. I don't know why even that little boy was there. But God had a plan for it. What if the little boy refused to give that to that when they asked for it? The whole situation would have been different, right? But that third person, that little boy, was the biggest blessing in that crowd that we could see. When they asked for it, he gave it willingly without any problems or questions that he had. So he doesn't even have a name. It's a just little boy. All we know is that he had a lunch bag and he was willing to share it with others. Philip had looked at the situation over, had a very realistic view, but he stopped there saying that it is hopeless. Andrew had a slightly better approach as he looked at the situation and decided to find some resources to help the situation. And the boy went even further. He looked around and said, "Here I am. I will give what I can to solve the problem. Then leave the rest in your hands." So we have these three responses to the situation here. How these three people, different people responded to. God's blessings are beyond measure. We can have all we can eat and take some home. You know, if you go to an all-you-can-eat restaurant, they don't let you take anything home. All you can eat, you have to eat it there. Isn't that suddenly the Golden Corral? I think so. They don't probably let you take it home. But in this situation, all you can eat and you still can take it home. And the funny thing that I always find interesting is that Jesus asked the disciples to gather all the leftovers. I don't know why. I think he was trying to teach them a lesson. When we read that, they gathered all of them and filled 12 baskets of the leftovers. Do you know what that means? God taught them a lesson. Each of you disciples to have carry one basket home. So he made them carry a basket home for 12, each one of them. So they will never forget what happened there. You know, that's what happens with God. When we give ourselves in the hands of God, He will bless us so much that it will be overflowing and we can carry each a basket home. That's how God blesses us. So whenever we have a limited budget or a limited resource and a big burden or project or plan that we have to do, a need that we have to meet, let us bring God into it. God's partnership with you and me is the most important and most powerful thing that can happen in this world. When we partner with God, that is the most powerful situation that we can ever have. Don't try to do it on our own. Don't try to work out the numbers by our own. But bring God into our situations, no matter how small it is or know how big it is. God is bigger than the greatest need that we can ever have. Miracles happen when you and I partner with God. Besides it being a miracle, the significance of Jesus taking the bread and two fish and feeding the 5,000 people illustrates for us that what can happen when we place ourselves in the hands of God. We often think that what we have is not enough or insignificant. Sometimes we think that we are too old, or sometimes we think that we are too young, or sometimes we think that we are too small a church. But there is nothing insignificant in the hands of God. A small church can be the most powerful church in the world if we let God work through us and work through the situations. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am going to place my life into His hands. That's probably what the little boy did that day. We are never too old or never too young. John Wesley, while he was 83, still preached 6 sermons a week at 83. And he was still complaining at his deathbed that the only complaint that he had was he could not preach that day. That was his complaining about. So we are not insignificant, or we are not weak, or we are not too old or too young. In the hands of God, God can use anyone according to the need around us. William Carey, the great missionary to India, who actually spent decades of his life in India and died there. And he was one of the reformers who changed many of the Hindu laws to the modern laws. And he has one great quote that he always quoted, saying that, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. We can only get great things only if you expect great things. We have been given the right and the power to expect great things from God, so that we can attempt great things for God. Many times our expectations are small. That means God is going to be a small God. But if we expect great things from God, God is going to be faithful enough to bless us greatly so that we can attempt great things for God. When the boy was not very good, nor was it very much, but it was all there. So Andrew brought the boy to Christ, and the boy was willing to give whatever he could do to help. So let us give into the hands of God our situation, trusting in God that He is able to meet us and more, and help and bless us with all the things that we need, and our cup will run over if we give our situations in the hands of God. As we go from this place, know that God is there to meet every single need that we have. Doesn't matter small or big, He is bigger than any need that we can ever have. Go in peace, knowing that. In Jesus' name, Amen. The closing hymn is Trust and Obey. It is 467 in the hymnal. We will sing all the four verses. 467. People of God, go in peace, knowing that God is able to meet every single one of our needs, no matter how small or big it is. Give it in the hands of Jesus. He can bless it to abundance. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Have a blessed week.